I think maybe just a few months ago, but I'm going to use these and going to kind of springboard into some other scriptures. And this message may sound a little different. It actually is a little different message than what I usually preach, but that's what God's laid on my heart. John chapter 8 and verse 2. John 8 and verse 2. And if you're there, just give me a good amen. All right, we're going to read, and I'm going to read verses 2 to 4, and then we're just going to jump on down to verses 10 and 11. John 8 and verse 2 says this, "And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto her, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act." And we're going to pick up in verse 10, but we are familiar there as they were trying to really, they really were not putting this woman on trial. They were really putting Jesus on trial, trying to catch him in an error here. And we know the story that Jesus stooped down, he wrote in the sand, and he said these famous words, "Those that are without sin, cast the first stone." And verse 10, it says this, "When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Famous, very famous verses of Scripture today. But I'm going to use that. I just want us to just listen in the introduction. And we're going to follow some different stories throughout the Bible. But I want to preach today on you still have to go home. You still got to go home is the title of my sermon. Or I would say she still had to go home. But today I'm just going to preach this thought and you'll see where I'm going in a few moments. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we do love you and thank you for all that you do for us. And Lord, right now, God, as we enter into your infallible Word, Lord, the precious Word of God, I would, God, you'd help us to handle it carefully. Lord, I would that we'd handle it in obedience. Lord, I would that we would handle it in context to the best of our ability. And you would anoint us, dear Father, and somebody in this room today, God, I pray, Lord, that the Word of God would find root in their hearts, dear Jesus Christ. You know the needs of this church. You know everybody individually. And God, you know my need for you today. In Jesus' name, Lord, help us be obedient to you. In Jesus' name, we do love you. Amen and amen. There's a subject when you begin to study the Bible, and it's a subject when you begin to study it, it's a reoccurring thread throughout the Bible. And even though this word may not really pop up in this phrase, there's something in the Bible called the obedience of faith. And the obedience of faith is a subject that needs to be expressed in the hearts of everybody in this room once again. Because obedience is something when it comes to the things of God. Obedience cannot be substituted with good intentions. It cannot be substituted with sometimes, you know, we say we're ignorant about things. But there are times we are willfully ignorant about things. We have to understand when it comes to the things of God, there are instantaneous obedience is something that all of us have to be mindful to. We've got to learn, and everybody in this room today has to learn to be obedient to the instant voice of God. We would understand as you look at the church world that is around us, there's been a very casual approach to the dealings of the Holy Ghost, even within the church. Some people will come to church and they will never change into the image of Christ, no matter how much you preach, no matter how much you teach, no matter how much the anointing of the Holy Ghost is there, no matter how many evangelists to get through, some people just will not be obedient to the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, my friend, those that know to do good and do not, it is a sin unto that individual. But dealing today, my friend, with this dealing of the Holy Ghost, because I do believe there is when the Holy Ghost begins to deal with us as individuals, I do believe that is a very intimate and a very precious thing. I have learned in ministry that the way that Jesus has dealt with me individually has been different than the way that He's dealt with my neighbors. But it is amazing how all of us begin to come to like vision, because He is one Spirit, He is one God, and He is one Lord. The Holy Ghost that is moving in my life is not separate than the Holy Ghost that is moving in your life. And yes, I know there's some things that the Lord deals with me on that He may never deal with you on, but there's some things the Holy Ghost is going to deal with us on. He will put His finger on it in all of our lives, and we've got to learn to be obedient. The obedience of faith is so critical. And to be disobedient in the Word of God is outright rebellion, and it is unacceptable. We would understand how critical obedience is. I heard a story one time by Brother Clendenin. I refer to him a lot, but when he was in World War II, when he was there and he went on the shores of that beach, he said that the only reason that he is alive today, or at that time when he was preaching, he said, the only reason that I'm alive is because in boot camp they taught us instant obedience. He said they taught us in those few months of boot camp there. He said, you know, you got on that bus, and many of you have been in the military, you know what I'm talking about. That drill instructor there began to tell you different things. And he said, by the end of those months that he was in boot camp, he said he learned something called instant obedience. If your drill instructor said, get down, you got down. You didn't ask why, you didn't question him, you just got down. And he said he never understood that really to his full potential to the day that he got on the battlefield. And he said all of a sudden he heard his commander say, get down. And he said everybody that didn't get down went home in a body bag. That's what he said. And he said, look, my friends, when it comes to the things of God, he said, when the Holy Ghost tells us something, he's not doing that because he's bored. He's not doing that because he has partial knowledge. He's not doing that because he doesn't have wisdom. But I'm telling you, he's doing that because he knows everything that not only is in your life, but he also knows what is up the road in front of you. He knows what's going to take place. He understands the things, and he knows your frame. He knows your disposition. He knows the things that you are going to struggle with. He knows the things that you are going to fight against. And today, my friend, when we're dealing with obedience and the things of God, I also understand this. How many knows obedience is not always easy? Amen. There's sometimes God will ask you to do things and you'll say, huh? Lord, why? And even though, and I'm not saying that like you're being rebellious, but just as you would, you don't understand because you have such a partial knowledge or you have such a limited revelation. And there, the Lord will tell you to do something. You'll say, Lord, I don't really see the danger in this. It's not really inherently sinful. I don't know why you're asking me to do this. And you may begin to reason within yourself. And there as you're praying. But then you say, Lord, not my will, but thine, dear Lord. You do His will. And then next year, it may be a year up the road or years up the road. You'll look back and you say, I can recognize what God told me not to go there, or God told me not to marry this person, or God told me not to do that, or God told me not to get involved in this. I'm telling you, my friend, obedience is not always easy, but obedience is essential to your faith. The obedience of faith, my friend, is the idea that when one is born again, he will obey. Amen. You can't separate the two. Come on now. Now, I do not want to eliminate the grace of God when He does tell us to do something. Because you'd have to be honest, there is times He's dealt with your heart, you didn't understand, and you didn't do it instantaneously, but you may have done it eventually. You were praying about it, and you did it. Maybe you were disobedient at first, but you came into that. But aren't you glad not only is obedience a part of our faith, but God's grace will help you obey. God's grace will help you see His perspective. God's grace will move you and motivate you if you will let Him. For all of us here today, if you're born again, and you will not obey God, none. You will not listen to His voice, and God's told you to do something a week ago or weeks ago and you have not obeyed. God may have told you to do something to service. I'm telling you, my friend, God's grace will help you, but there comes to a place where God's grace will withdraw when you're being openly rebellious against the things that you did not obey when He told you. Amen. We always, and what I'm going to preach on today with God's help, it's amazing how we'll come to church, or we'll come to revival, or we'll come to Bible study, or we'll come to Sunday school, and God will prick our hearts on things at times. It's amazing how you can talk yourself out of that by the time you get home. Think about it. It's amazing how, and I've done this myself and just in ignorance in times past, where I said, Lord, I know, Lord, let me just give you an example and I'm not saying this right, but Lord, I know you really want me to fast, but by the time you get home, you say, man, a cheeseburger sounds good. And you don't really, and what it is, you're not in that corporate fellowship at that time, and that enthusiasm that you really felt, because everybody there was encouraging you, but you leave the house of God, and instantly you're in your flesh, and the enemy begins to persuade you. It really doesn't take all that to make it. It doesn't really take all that to be pleasing and have the favor of God. It doesn't really take all that seeking of the Spirit of God. It doesn't really take all that fasting and praying. It doesn't really take me laying aside the things of the world. It doesn't take me laying aside the adornments and the trinkets and the lifestyle and the ideas and the theology of this world. And you felt it in the altar. You felt conviction in church. By the time you get home, you turn the TV on, you're feeling the conviction of the TV. You know there's two spirits at work in this world. Come on. You got the Spirit of God. You got the Spirit of the Antichrist, the Spirit of the devil. It's moving against us. And I'm telling you, there's some people, maybe in this room even today, you're having a war. You're having a tug of war with the beast in your spirit. You feel the world pulling at you. You come around the saints of God. You come into church. You feel the presence of God. You say, I'd like to serve Jesus. I'd like to live for Him. I'd like to make things. You go to school maybe as a young person. You go to the job maybe as an adult. You go home maybe, and all of a sudden you say, yes, I'd like to live for the Lord, Lord. But I'm telling you, I also like to do this as well. And then what God told you to do, you're open disobedience because now you're listening to another voice and another spirit. You better know what spirit these things are of in this world. Everybody from the youngest to the oldest, if you're in a relationship or not in a relationship, if you're a teenager, if you're a senior citizen, if you're middle age or if you're in your 20s, I'm telling you, everything you do, every decision you make, you better know what spirit you are. You better understand, friend, why am I doing this? What is my motive? And what is the motive and what is propelling me to do this? Because I'm telling you, my friend, there's many people that lose the victory and lose the voice of God even before they make it home. It happens every service. You say, that's a bold statement. I dare say, the Holy Ghost is always speaking to us. He that hath an ear, let him hear with the Spirit. He may speak through His Word. He may speak through a teacher. He may speak through a song. He may speak through whatever form He decides to. But my friend, we have to understand this today. We make decisions even before we came to Christ. We make decisions as sinners at times that when we get saved, we know we cannot allow those things to live in our lives. But our faith when we get saved causes us to dismember those things and shove them out of our lives. Now, I can always beat myself up because I can take it. Amen. I'll forgive myself quicker too. Amen. When I was a sinner, you know, when I got saved, do you know there's decisions I had to make? You know, sometimes we like that. You ever played Monopoly? And that's the longest, boringest game sometimes. I do like it. But every now and then my wife will say, you want to play Monopoly? I'm like, it's 9 o'clock. It'd be 9 tomorrow before we finish. Amen. But everybody likes getting out of the jail free card, you know? It's that little card you get. And you get out of jail free. But you understand, my friend, not only to win Monopoly, not only do you got to get out of jail, but you got to make good decisions. And I know that's a world example. Lord, forgive me. But hear me today, my friend. We've got to understand this, that we've got to make decisions when we get born again. We've got to make decisions. My friend, as a sinner, you have made decisions as a sinner that have a reaping and a sowing process to it. There are repercussions. There may be relationships, friendships, legal situations, job, finances, hobbies, examples, lifestyles, mindsets. That when you got saved, the Holy Ghost, when you get saved, He's going to begin to deal with you and say, you've got to get rid of this. And if you do not obey, then eventually, when does God say, okay, that's it, you're rebellious? God knows where that line is. And God knows how to deal with us. But I'm telling you this, you ain't going to ride that line for a year. I'm telling you, when God speaks to you today, you better get praying and getting serious about it. Because you can fall out of fellowship with this Christ. You can get away from the things of God. We've got to learn to obey Him. I seen a picture one time I thought was very interesting. And in this picture, there's somebody had either color or drawn or something. It showed Jesus and a little girl standing in front of them. And Jesus is looking at this little girl, and this little girl is holding a little teddy bear. Some of you, it's an old picture, I think. This little girl's holding this teddy bear, and she's squeezing it real tight, and Jesus has His hands out reaching for it and said, just trust Me. And that little girl's looking back at Jesus and said, but Jesus, I love it. And behind Jesus' back, in the other hand, is a great big teddy bear. He's saying, give it to Me, trust Me. I've got something more for you. I've got something greater for you. I've got something more beautiful for you. I've got something that will bring you peace that you do not understand. I've got you something that will bring fulfillment that this world cannot give. Just give it to Me. Just pass it to Me. And sometimes we'll hold on to things and we'll say, but Jesus, I love this so much. And Jesus is saying, I wish you would just trust Me. Just give it to Me. My friends, I'm telling you, whatever you're holding on to, it's but a little stuffed animal in the eyes of God. God's got more beautiful things He wants to give you. He wants to give you more than a teddy bear. He wants to give you Himself. He wants to give you His image. He wants to give you His character. He wants to give you your breath. He wants to give you His Spirit. Right. Right. But you got to turn loose of your teddy bears. You say, that's silly. Kids hold on to things. Adults hold on to things too. Adults have little teddy bears they hang on to. Maybe not stuffed animals, but it may be an idol in your life. It may be a mentality. It may be something in your spirit that God may say, look, how much do you love me? Give that to me. As we look at the story, let's move forward so we understand where we're going. We look at the story of this woman that was caught in adultery. We know she was caught in the very act. She's brought in front of Jesus here. And can you imagine this as she's brought there? Can you see her? She's braced herself and she's laying there maybe and there on that floor there. And she's bracing herself. She's waiting for the stones to bounce off of her body. She knew that she had been caught in the very act. Maybe not just too long ago. She's been drugged through the streets. She's waiting for this. She's bracing for the crushing stones of judgment. But all of a sudden she hears these words. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Do you think she was grateful? Do you think she was excited? Do you think maybe when she finally looked over and seen, maybe my friends, as she looked around, she didn't see a Pharisee or a Sadducee. She looked around and seen them stones laying there where they dropped them, the dust just floating in the air, where they dropped the stones and walked away. And there she looks, there's Jesus there, as He looks up and looks at her and says, where is thy condemners? Where are those that condemn me? She's pretty much saying they are not here. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Can you imagine the joy that she felt? Can you imagine the peace that she felt? Can you imagine the excitement and the exuberance? Can you imagine she had been saved? She had been spared. But also there's something else ringing in her mind. Go and sin no more. I don't know what happened. The Bible doesn't tell us much of this lady afterwards. But maybe she's walking home and this thing comes up in her mind that really sends a shock to a lot of people. I still got to go home. I still got to deal with the things that I've done wrong. I still got to go home. The Bible says she was an adulterer. It doesn't say if she was married or not. But can you imagine if she was married? Would she have to go home and confess to that husband? Would he put her away or divorce her? Would she have to confess to her parents and his parents? Did she have children? We do not know. But my friend, this is a fact. She had to go home. And no doubt the idea of going home, and not only that she's going home, but she's heard the voice of God. She feels free. She feels at peace. But she also knows she's got to make decisions that are not going to be easy for her. I bet the devil shows up and says, you know you still love that man. You know he was the man of your dreams. But then she hears these words, go and sin no more. She still had to go home. I don't know what atmosphere she went back in, my friend, but this is one thing. She's never spoken of again. But I want to tell you this today, my friend. You still have to go home. When you leave service, it's more than just feeling a goosebump going up and down your backbone. It's more than just hearing a song, you know. It's more than hearing a familiar sermon. It's more than just coming to church. If you leave here and don't obey what God is doing in your life, I'm telling you, my friend, you find yourself losing ground with God. I'm telling you, my friend, you still got to go home. You got to take what you feel in service and you got to put it in action at home. How do we bridge that from the voice of God to action? Because sometimes we hear the voice of God and we never, my friend, we never allow the action to take place in our lives. We've got to learn to put that instant obedience in operation in our lives. I'm preaching to somebody. I know God's given me this. God wants you to obey Him. Has anybody ever heard of a bonfire service? I know y'all can't even burn sticks out here. I know y'all ain't had one. Amen. Well, back home, we used to have bonfire services. Amen. Think we're country or whatever. It worked. You have a good old revival, people get saved. You say, go home, get your junk, let's burn it. Don't put it in a yard sale and give it to the neighbors. Come on. People have church sometimes, have movies full of cussing, and put it in a yard sale. I say, why do you do that? You're going to distribute to somebody else and let them watch it? Get rid of it. Well, I spent $50. So what? You're lost. You probably spent 50 years in it too. So you lost a lot more than just $50. Don't put that clothing here. Get rid of it, my friend. Hear me today. Anyhow, we'll leave it alone. But let's go. I'll tell you, we had a bonfire service. I remember my mom and I, like I've said it before, we were on the most spiritual bunch when I was real young. We had all sorts of movies that I liked when I was a little kid. I remember Mom, we had a revival and had a bonfire service and she went and cleaned house, buddy. And you know, she got saved, but I didn't. I was crying. I said, Mom, that's my favorite one. And she was clean, boy. She took them tapes, I mean, back before DVDs. Believe it, I'm that old. Amen. Back before we were cleaning up the storage room back there, and one of the old tape rewinders, Matthew said, "What is that?" I said, "You hadn't lived until you rewinded a tape." Amen. But boy, we went and got them VA. I remember going there. I was walking with Mom to the bonfire. I said, "Boy," I said, "Mom, you got to get rid of that one too." I said, "And all this." And she said, "We're burning it all. We're going to get, I'll tell you, we burn all them tapes with books and vampire books and movies and indecent things. They would burn them, throw in that fire." My friend, that's just what a bonfire was. But what that was, it was a sign of the obedience of faith. My friend, we may not put a fire out here in the show and let you burn it, but I'm telling you, you should still go home. You can still clear out your movie cabinet if it's wrong. You can still find things that are not godly. You still can pray and sanctify your hearts and minds. And we may not burn it out here, but you can take a hammer, you can put it in the trash can, do whatever you got to do, but get rid of it. Amen. There's been such a gap between hearing from God and obeying God that a lot of people are just in neutral. And sometimes people are neutral, not even saved. They don't even know it. Because they never will. I will tell you this. What God did with your heart on, until you obey, you will get no further than that. You ever heard of a rut? Spiritual ruts? Mature saints can get them just as well as immature saints. But I'm telling you, I've seen a lot of people that are saying, "Look, I know I want God to move my life," but clump. They stay in that hole for 6 months. 6 months later, they'll say, "I finally know what it is." I said, "I could have told you that if you asked." Because it wasn't nothing deep or revelation. I mean, it was just there. You could tell. Got a sour attitude or a nasty. I mean, it could be some spirit. It could be something outside, inside. It was sour. So I could have told you that. They get in that rut. But you know what they'll do another time? Instead of going home and taking care of it, they'll go back home and jump back in the rut again. Come on. Well, they say, "Well, in church, I knew God spoke." You know, it's amazing. They knew God spoke to them in church, but they think God spoke to them when they got home. Just be careful. Just be careful how much you say, "Well, I know God." If God's dealing with you on something, get rid of it. If you're not sure, do it anyhow. See what happens. Give God a chance in your life. We look at this woman, she still had to go home. Sometimes we talk ourselves out of obedience. Other times we allow the devil to talk us out of obedience. But the obedience of faith is something that is necessary in our lives. Not only that, my friend, but we have that woman at the well in John chapter 4. It says, "The woman answered and said, I have no husband unto Jesus." Jesus said, "That said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast five husbands, and he whom thou is with now is not thy husband." You know what she had to do? She had to go home. She had to obey. If she didn't obey, I know we don't mind, but if she didn't obey, she didn't make it. And you know, she couldn't argue and say, "Well, he missed it by one. I only had four." No. Do you know God will touch it right on the nail head? You ever heard that? He'll hit it right on the head. God will hit it right on the head in your life. And don't sit there and say, "Well, it wasn't quite..." No, when God says do something, do it. Like I said before, the Lord read her mail. He told her these things. He gave her a drink, but she still had to go home. She still had to make the decision. She still had to prepare herself to do the will of God. And I'm telling you today, my friend, you've got to do the same. And so do I. If I'm wrong about something, and I go home and I'm praying... You say, "Well, you're a preacher." I don't care what I am. I've got to obey God. Like I said, you know it ain't always easy. There's sometimes you need to apologize. This is going to make you... There's been a few times I had to walk up and I had to tap someone on the shoulder. I said, "Look, brother, be honest with you, I shouldn't have said it that way. I didn't mean for it to come up, but I'm sorry. I said it that way." Because we're being obedient. And my friend, if that never happens, you're right, I question you. But I'm glad God still deals with me. I'm glad God still chastens me. I'm glad God still is showing me things in my life. Because sometimes it may be an apology. Other times it may be something you need to clean up in your life. Other times it may be something going on in your family that you need to work on. But I'm telling you, you've got to obey. Because you know, when you do not obey... Isn't it amazing how the devil can take... You know, sometimes the Lord will begin dealing with it when it's very small. And then you don't obey. And all of a sudden it's real big in your life. And then God is still saying, "Obey." But this time, if you obeyed back then, it's just been a little bit removed. Now you've got to uproot a lot of things. Now you've got to go to your children because you didn't deal with it before you had them. Now, when it affected you, it wasn't a big deal. You know, Lord, I can live with it. I can serve you. But all of a sudden, your children, you see it detrimental. Then you got to go to them and correct it. Now it's getting bigger and bigger. Do you see what I'm saying? Deal with it now. Do you know what? When it comes to cancer, I'm not making light. I know there's real. But you know, they try to get it when it's small. They want to get it before it spreads. Because when it spreads, it is harder to contain. We got another example in the Bible of the prodigal son. Hear me today, my friend. We know the story went into that far country. We know the story is there feeding the swine. He would have fain filled his belly with the swine, with the husk that the swine did eat. But all of a sudden, he had this idea. He said this, and when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants in my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy than called the son. Make me as one of the hired servants." He's there in that hog pen. He's saying to himself, "I'm going to do this." What if he never went? You know, sometimes we have aspirations of deliverance and getting out of the mess we're in, and we get excited, but then we realize maybe these pigs ain't that ugly. I want to tell you, you can put pink ribbons in the pig's ears. They're still a pig. You can dress your sin up any way you want to dress. Put a skirt on it, it's still going to find its way in the mud. You're still going to stink because you've been around it. You're still going to affect your personality, your character, and your mindset. I don't care what you do. You can try to make the pig pen your home if you want. You can try to hang pictures and live out in the barn with them if you want. But I'm telling you this, we have a Father's house. We have one that loves us. We have one that beckons us. And it's got to be more than just a thought of mind, but you've got to put motivation and action to that. If he just thought about getting out of the hog pen and never went, he'd have died there. But you know what I love? Verse 20, it says, "And he arose." And he arose. And he went unto his father's house. And we know the story there, but I'm trying to tell you, my friend, you've got to get it out of just a thought. You've got to get rid of just a good intention. You've got to get rid of just good ideas and aspirations. But you've got to say, "I'm going to go there. I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to run to the Father." And when you do that, you'll find that he's going to meet you. And he's got things that you didn't even think were there for you. He said, "I think, you know, I'll be a hired servant and get some bread." Little do you know who's going to get prime rib. You know, sometimes we try to predestine our appetites. We'll say, "Well, God, I'm only worthy of this much." And God said, "No, I've got a whole calf out there I'm going to kill. I'm going to feed you good. And you know what? Forget being a servant. You're my son." My friends, the devil will convince you you ain't worthy of nothing but bread. But I'm telling you, you give whatever is your life to God, you'll find the table spread even in the presence of your enemies. I'm telling you, my friend, God will do that for you. But you still got to go home. You've got to make it more than an idea. You've got to put legs on your prayers. You've got to put legs in these things. And you've got to let God move in your life. But the teddy bear is so... it's my favorite, Lord. And it's not sinful. It's not going to send me to hell. Get rid of that mentality. Sometimes something may not be a sin unto you, but it could be hindering you from the fullness of Christ and the blessings of God in your life. We also understand, let me give you one more example. I will not preach much longer. But my friend, I also read in the book of Mark about that man. There was a demon-possessed man there, a legion of demons. He says, "Our name is Legion." We know in Mark chapter 5 and 8, we know that Jesus got in that ship, went to the other side. We know that he delivered him. We know it was a miraculous thing that man was out there. Can you imagine as Jesus comes to that other shore, and shore there, and there this man is, with wiry clumps, hair. He's got a beard down to his chest, ribbon with blood, furtive eyes darting in all directions, refusing to think. He's there, he's naked, the Bible says. No sandals to protect his feet from the rocks of the ground, or clothing to protect his skin from the rocks that he's inflicting pain on himself. And there he is, he stinks, he's naked. Their fetters and chains are hanging from his arms, broken. This man is a mess. But Jesus, you know, I like the story. It says he ends up sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed in what? In his right mind. Beautiful restoration. But the Bible says this, "And when he was come to the ship, he had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with them." Jesus, "I want to go with you." Pretty much he said, "I don't want to go back home. I don't want to go back there." We don't know who this man is, really. Was he a father? I don't know.
Was he a husband? I don't know. I don't know everything about him. We can only speculate. But this is the fact. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great the things the Lord hath done for thee and have not can have compassion on thee. He said, go home. Yeah. My friends, some of you, and don't run out of the building when I say this, but some of you need to go home and obey God. Maybe this man didn't want to go home because he knew everybody would look at him and say, there's that psycho right there. He was the one that lived out there on the hillside pigs among the dead. Oh, he can't be a Jew. You know, he'd be a sorry Jew because he'd been among all those unclean things and he needs to be purified and all this. And that's why he probably didn't go there. Here's that crazy guy. We cannot trust him. He lived among the tombs. But Jesus said, go home and testify. Hear this. If your testimony doesn't make it home with you, it's not a testimony. Sometimes we have a testimony just in church. But our testimony at home is demolished and dismantled in front of our family. No, sir. You say, well, I keep my cool in church. When I get home, I get a little mad. Well, that's not right. Take it home with you, please. And I'm not doing this. If you struggle with these areas, I'm telling you, take it home with you. Be obedient to him. You say, well, I don't struggle with this in church when I get home. Well, my friends, you've got to do whatever you've got to do. Pluck out the eye, cut off the head, make the decisions you need to make. You've got to do what you've got to do. You've got to go home, and not only go home, but go home and be a testimony. I'm afraid. I was talking to Brother Israel last week. We were just talking about children now that I have one before the baby dedication. I said, God, help me that if I cannot make this testimony pass on to my daughter. I know things happen in life. I know there's things we can't control. I know the life. But I say, God, give me the strength to not only have a testimony in church, but I want a testimony at home. Amen? I want a testimony at home. Let's move a little further and we won't be much longer. But there's another story in the Bible about a man named Zacchaeus. This man named Zacchaeus in the Bible, we know the story. We know that he was among the chief among the publicans and tax collectors. And he saw Jesus. He climbed up that sycamore tree. And here it was, we know that when Jesus saw him, that they climbed up in that sycamore tree because Jesus was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Brother Derek, how do I take you home with me? I'll tell you how. Jesus will go with you. Do you know Jesus ain't just confined to these four walls? Ye are a temple of the Holy Ghost. He goes with you. You said, Brother Derek, how do I overcome the struggles at home? I'll tell you how. Imagine if Jesus is sitting there with you. Oh, he'll change your perspective. You know what we've lost in the house of God? Listen, I don't want to lose you. But when it comes to the godly fear, and fearing God and have a reverence for Him, you've got to practice living before the face of God all the time. God's face ain't just looking at you in this building. He's looking at you when you get home. Well, I couldn't help it. It was on the internet. There's a red X at the top of the screen. Hit it if you have to. If you struggle that much with it, just get rid of your computer. Do what you've got to do. But make it! You've got to make the decisions and obedience to make it, my friend. Here it is. He says, Zacchaeus, come down, for I must abide at the house. And it says, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying, and let's move on down these verses. But he says this, Jesus says this to Zacchaeus, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save them which was lost. He's saying, salvation came to your house today. Now, as I'm coming to a close, my wife's about to come to the piano. I want you to follow me here. I know when it comes to talking about our home lives, I know in America we've got a strewn mess. I know that. I understand everybody's home life is different. Hear me. My home life may be different than yours. My wife, when she was raised in a divided home. It was different than the home life I was raised in. It's different than some of you may go back to homes that are not desirable, situations you don't know, things that you cannot help, things you cannot really, you can't at the moment right now, you're stuck in a situation. What do you do? I'll tell you what you do. You take Jesus with you. He will go with you. Amen. You've got to go home today. Hear me. Because right now, my friends, this the obedience of faith is not popular. There's a lot of things you can preach and people get excited. But the obedience of faith really deals with me and you. It's reality that I've got to obey Him. And He knows what is best for me, even when I do not understand. My friend, I'm telling you today, obedience is something that's so essential in our walk with God that we've got to keep the victory. But the only way you can do it is when you take it home with you. Have you obeyed God today? Maybe God said something to you in revival. Have you obeyed Him? Maybe God said something to you on a Wednesday night. He dealt with your heart and you knew it was God. Have you obeyed Him? I read something recently. I read a book one time called Orphan Justice. And in that book, it was talking about orphans in foreign countries and how these missionaries, when they would go and preach over there in some of these areas that were predominantly Muslim and different religions, it says that some of them teenage boys would get saved and they would go home. They weren't trying to be rebellious, but there was something different about them. Their family said, "We need you to do this." They said, "I can't. I'm a Christian now." They said, "And we will not compromise." They threw them kids out in the streets. Threw them out there in the snow at times. And I thought to myself, if teenagers can obey God in a land that's being persecuted, what is it in Americans? What pride is it in us? Do we feel like do some people feel like they're too good to obey? Do some people feel like they know more than God? Or do some people feel like, well, my life's going good anyhow. Why don't I need to make any critical changes? Or don't be deceived, my friend. If you're not obeying what God is doing in your life, you could have $1 million in the bank. If you hadn't obeyed God, you've messed up. Hear me. You still got to go home today. Just like that woman taken in adultery. Go and sin no more. She had to make a decision. I'm not going to do this no more. I can't do this. The woman at the well. I cannot. The prodigal son. I've got to get out of here. I've got to go somewhere. That man leads it. I don't want to go back. I don't. All the stuff that I've been a part of, everybody's going to say something. Go. Go home. But guess what, Zacchaeus? I'm coming with you. I'm going to abide in your house. And salvation is going to be in your house today. If you'll stand to your feet, I appreciate you listening. But if children can do that in a foreign field at teenage ages, can we not obey the Lord? I'm just going to tell you, to be honest with you, I don't usually preach 15 texts like that. I mean, it's different. You may not pick up on it, but I do. Putting that together, I just said, Lord, it sounds a little different. I don't know if people understand all what I'm talking about, but I believe God's helped us get it across. You've got to take this home with you. You can't just feel it in church, my friend. But I feel like when I was praying, that picture came to my mind of that little girl with that teddy bear when I was praying. And I said, Lord, could it be that some people have something so precious to them that they're just holding on to it? And they're saying, well, it's not sinful. I don't think it's going to send me to hell, Lord. I just love it. I get pleasure out of this. I like it. And God is saying, give it to me. I've got something else for you, something greater, something you haven't even witnessed yet. But if you never obey me, you're going to have a little teddy bear experience.